Are you also tired of one-size-fits-all weight loss plans? Meet Noom, the personalized solution that meets you where you are. Noom is able to understand your unique needs, from dietary restrictions to medical concerns. Unlike restrictive programs, Noom embraces your lifestyle and choices. Discover a sustainable approach to weight loss, tailored just for you. Honestly, Noom felt like it was made for me. It's not just about what I eat. It's about understanding why. With Noom, I've learned so much about myself and built healthier habits that stick. It's all about progress, not perfection. Say goodbye to restrictive diets and experience the Noom app for yourself with personalized lessons and expert coaching. Noom's psychology and biology-based approach has helped over 5.2 million people achieve their goals. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Live streaming provided by Alpha Geek Radio and Alpha Geek Video. Visit tunein.alphageekradio.com to learn more.
Finally, Friday is brought to you by Major Spoilers, VIPs from around the world. If you would like to support everything we do, please point your browser to members.majorspoilers.com. Well, hello, everyone. We've made it through Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, and we are ready for the red and blue days, as my youngest calls them, because it's finally Friday. I'm Stephen Schleicher. Thank you for tuning in wherever you may be, whether it be on Alpha Geek Radio or tune in with all the different options you have there. Could be watching us live streaming this on YouTube or perhaps on your mobile device. Again, thanks to everyone at Alpha Geek Radio for making that happen. So glad you're here. And we're going to get to your calls in just a moment. The phone call, by the way, so you can start dialing those numbers now. 785-727-1939. That is the Major Spoilers hotline. Or you can call Steven_Schleicher on Skype if you'd rather do that. Either way is fine by me. I don't care. Hello, people in the chat. No guest host today. Ashley had to work. Zach had to work. I could not get my my oldest boy, Mason, to sit in. He was too shy. But that boy is the luckiest boy in the world. So last week, after we wrapped up here, I posted Critical Hit, got all that ready to go, and then got up bright and early Saturday morning. That's the red day. And we headed to Planet Comic-Con in Kansas City. I didn't really answer it last week correctly, I don't think. I forgot to bring it up. What is the red day and what is the blue day, according to my youngest? He said, yay, it's red blue day tomorrow. And come to find out, at his daycare, they have a big calendar on the wall. And every day they talk about the day of the week and they talk about something coming up. And when I was there the other day, I looked to see what he could be talking about red day, blue day. And sure enough, Saturday and Sunday, in the big long column on the calendar, are marked in red and blue. So even though he may not know all the days of the week yet, he knows that the red day and the blue day are the days that he gets to stay home and hang out. Before we get to the Planet Comic-Con, how about we head to the phone lines? Hi, who's this?
This is Ashley.
Ashley, I thought you were working.
I am working, but I'm outside of where I'm working right now. I wanted to call and say hey.
Well, hey, thank you for calling in. I'm glad that you did call in. I was just telling everybody you couldn't make it because you were working.
That's true. I'm calling in briefly.
What is the biggest seller this week at your comic book store?
Chrononauts, especially now that they announced that the movie's coming out.
Yeah.
The speculators want to come in.
That is really great. Universal did pick that up, and I've got an interesting story about that in just a little bit. But Ashley, are you having a great week?
Sure.
All right. The RedShirtDiaries.com is the place that you want to go. Season 2 is about to start filming soon. And yours truly does make an appearance in the next season. So,
yeah.
I did okay?
You did great.
All right. I'm glad to hear that. Anything else you want to plug or talk about?
No, I just wanted to call and say hi and be okay. Annoying right at the top of the show.
No, that's great. I'm glad you did call in. So, I want you to have a great weekend, okay?
Okay. Hi.
All right.
Bye.
All right. Talk to you later. Bye. It's so nice, Ashley, calling in. That was pretty crazy. So, yeah, Chrononauts. Matthew and I reviewed it on the Dueling Reviews this week. I don't know. It's up on Major Spoilers on the Major Spoilers Podcast Network Master Feed. And the day that I had read it, Wednesday, I had tweeted out to Mark Miller and said, oh, man, I want to see a live-action adaptation of this, like, right away. Preferably TV, because I'd love to see it as a series, because you can make it a little bit longer than a two-hour movie. And he said, TV series are a little bit too expensive. Expensive is what he replied back to me. But sure enough, we find out today that Universal Pictures has optioned Chrononauts to be made into a major motion picture, not a TV series. And I forget who, somebody has already been tapped to write it. Universal, let's see here. See if I can find it really quick. I didn't expect it to come up really quick, but yeah, Variety is reporting this. Universal Pictures had acquired Chrononauts by Mark Miller and Sean Gordon Murphy. Great art in there. Chris Morgan will produce under the Chris Morgan Productions. The story is doesn't say who's going to write it, but we know who's going to produce it. So that's good news. That's good news. This is a really good book, and maybe that is a book that you will want to pick up really, really fast before it's gone off the shelves, if that's the way it is at Ashley's store. So back to Planet Comic-Con. The boy and I got up bright and early. Mason and I got up bright and early, about 5:30, I think. Got in the car and headed up to Kansas City, Kansas, or Kansas City, Missouri, actually. And went to Planet Comic-Con. It's a convention that, over the last couple of years, has really grown in size. I remember the first year that my wife and I ever went, it was like in a rec center, basically, in Overland Park. And it was in this little basketball court. And my wife and I were probably done in about an hour talking with creators and walking around. I think, no, that's not when I first met Marv Wolfman and Bill Willingham in person. But a few years later, they moved out to the Overland Park Convention Center, which was a much bigger space for them. And that's where we got to go and hang. But then after the second boy was born, or right before the second boy was born, the sidekick, we kind of stopped going together as a family because it got too crazy to handle a pregnant wife, a boy that was demanding us to buy everything that he saw, and so on and so forth. So we stopped going as a family. But I decided that it was time to do some father-son time with the oldest, with Mason. And we went. And the whole trip was really just about him having fun and getting to know what the Comic-Con is about. And so we just walked the convention floor, and it's now at Bartle Hall, which is a big convention center in Kansas City. And there were so many people there. Lots of Star Wars, as always. Lots of Doctor Who, Matt Smith and David Tennant, Doctor Who, were very popular. Lots of Daleks walking around and people in costume. I saw one or two Tom Baker, Doctor Who's, but that was really cool. We walked kind of through Celebrity Row where all the big signings were going on, but we didn't go in, get in line for any signings just because it was a little bit too expensive. And, for a 7-year-old, almost 8-year-old standing in line for an hour just to go shake somebody's hand who he's not super familiar with probably isn't that exciting. So we went ahead and passed on that. But we didn't have a lot of time to talk with creators. Most of them were very swamped. I wanted to stop by Katie Cook's booth, but she was, it was backed up at her booth with a lot of people there. I wanted to see about Don Rosa and having Mason meet Don Rosa and get some duck stuff, some Scrooge McDuck stuff taken care of. But he had a big line. who is the one? Oh, now I forgot his name. Oh, Kenneth Rocafort or Rocafort was super, super nice. This guy, this was first thing in the morning. We got there about 11, got through line in about 15 minutes, which was great. And then we're walking through the convention and Rocafort's there and he's just like, hey, little boy, do you want some candy? Not in that way, not in a creepy way. But he saw that Mason was looking around and was like, hey, I've got some suckers. You want a sucker? And Mason, of course, took one, said thank you. It was very nice. So he was like, well, that man was very nice. And I was like, yes, he's a comic book artist and he is a very nice person. So thank you, Kenneth, for that. And then the boy proceeded to tell me after we walked into the convention center that he was hungry and needed some of those $20 hot dogs and $30 drinks that they were selling. Exaggeration, hyperbole. Makes for a better story. So we ate some lunch there and just walked around and looked at everybody in the costumes. He thought that was really awesome. Just a good time. And we bought some things. He was looking for some Pokemon stuff, so we got some Pokemon things for him, our Pokemon or whatever. We looked at all the cool Lego stuff that was there. He was really cool. I like this kid. If you're watching the live stream, this was a pretty cool costume. This kid was in a wheelchair and his dad had built him an X-Wing fighter to go around his wheelchair and wheeled him through the convention. And the kid was having a blast. You can see he's wearing an R2-D2 hat. I thought that was really cool. But really, it was Star Wars, Doctor Who were the primary ones. Oh, and what are the Jaegers from... Titan, not Titan AE, whatever the Titan thing is with the giant cannibal kind of thing. A lot of those running around, which I thought was pretty cool. And so I was just buying some things left and right for him. We picked up a few things for the sidekick because he loves the pop vinyl figures. And every booth had pop vinyl. That was a huge thing. Every booth had pop vinyl and they weren't always the same. So we were able to grab some cool ones of that. But then right towards the end, oh, the other thing. They had the Batmobile was there, so we both got pictures in the Batmobile. We both got pictures with the DeLorean from the Back to the Future. The steampunk people were there, and they had a really cool time machine that Mason climbed in and was able to get that. These are pictures from KCTV5 and what was going on there on their slideshow. So you can head over to KCTV5.com to see more images and more things that were going on. So right towards the end of the day, oh, we didn't get to do the Emperor's Throne. That had a really long line by late afternoon. We didn't get to do the TARDIS because that had a really long line by the end of the afternoon. But there was a booth, and I forget the company's name that was doing this, but they had a really long, they had this game thing going on where you plunk down your $25 as kind of a blind box thing. They had rows and rows of boxes all up along the wall. And there were three of you that would play at a time, and you would plunk down your $25 and you would point your laser pointer that they gave you at a box, and they'd bring that over, and you got three chances. You'd pick one, the next guy would pick one, the next guy would pick one, and then you'd go around again and pick another box and so on and so forth. And the woman who was running it was like, hey, guarantee that there's $25, at least $25 worth of merchandise in the box. So it's kind of like a loot crate kind of deal. And I was like, have fun with the kid, let him play around, see what it is. And so we're going through and we're picking. I'm like, you know what? All the really good stuff is down and in the back. So he picks a couple of them in the back and he's like, oh, well, then you had the choice between white boxes and dark boxes. And he said, oh, I'm going to go with the dark box. And so he picked three dark boxes. The cool part of the story is there's a grand prize. There were three of the grand prizes. I think there were three total that they were doing throughout the weekend. And the grand prize was a brand new Nintendo 3DS XL Super Mario 2 edition that you could win. And so after they bring them out, the woman's like, okay, you got to pick them up and shake them to figure out which one you want. And so Mason picked the very last one he wanted. It came over and I pick it up and I shake it and I could tell right away there's something big and heavy in this thing. And I'm like, oh, Mason, I think this is the one you want. And the woman behind the counter is like, yep, I think you're right. So we opened it up and sure enough, the kid wins the grand prize, one of the grand prizes at the thing. I was just blown away and he was super excited. He was super happy. And shortly after that, that's about 3:30 or so. He was like, well, I guess I'm kind of done. I'm getting kind of tired. Maybe we should leave. So we went and stopped off at my parents' house and ate some dinner with them and then headed back. But for him, he had a really great time. And I want to thank everyone at Planet Comic Con in Kansas City for putting on a great show. It was a lot of fun. I wish I would have had a chance to see more of you there at the show. I wanted to spend some more time and talk with some of the creators that were there. But this was a father-son thing, so we were kind of doing whatever he wanted to do. And I know some of you have kids, and I'm hoping that if you call in today, 785-727-1939, that maybe you'll share some of your great experiences that you've had at a comic book convention, or really anything that you want to talk about. Maybe you've read Chrononauts. Maybe you heard the news that there is a Supergirl news. It seems like every Friday we got Supergirl news. I think it's, what's his name, Owain Yeoman. Owain Yeoman has been cast to play kind of a villain in the upcoming Supergirl series. That villain is Vartox. Who is Vartox, you ask? Well, this is where it gets a little weird, so hang on to your shorts or your giant thong or whatever. Vartox first appeared in Superman 281 in 1974, created by Kerry Bates and Kurt Swan. If you're looking at the images online, you might be thinking to yourself, hey, wait a minute, that sure as heck looks a lot like Sean Connery when he was in that horrible movie Zardos. And sure enough, it is based on Zardos. The character appeared in Superman comics for a number of years. Most recently, we saw him in the Power Girl series by, now I forgot the creator's name. Somebody will shout it out. Super crazy, super over the top, wants to woo Power Girl in that series. And it was a lot of fun to see him in that. So, we're getting a Vartox. I'm wondering if he's going to wear the costume in the show. I think that would be really kind of crazy and out there if he did it. But there is your Supergirl news for this Friday. 785-727-1939. That's the number that you want to call. Yes, Attack on Titan. That is the Jaegers that I was thinking of just a little bit ago. Yeah, banana hammock. Yeah, it's going to be rather fascinating. So phone lines are open. Anything you want to talk about, anything and everything that you may want to talk about, it's up to you to drive this conversation. I started it off, and now we want to hear from you. We heard from Ashley again. She's got to work. I would love for her to be a regular. Maybe we will have her someday as a regular if we can get everybody hired and we get our Major Spoilers VIPs. If you haven't been over to the members site before at members.majorspoilers.com, I just want to point out to you some of the stretch goals that we have. And let me just flip this way. There we go. So finally, Friday was the first one that you unlocked when we hit 500 VIPs. That was great. We have announced a new one when we hit 1,200 VIPs, and we're just about 400 away from that. The numbers aren't up to date exactly. But when we hit 1,200 VIPs at Tuesday night, you can dial in and listen to us live stream the show. Now, it won't be a fan interaction, won't be phone lines or anything like that, but you'll be able to hear the show before anyone else. And it won't be just VIPs. It'll be up to everyone. In fact, we probably will talk to Todd over at Alpha Geek Radio about streaming that. When we hit 1,500 VIPs, you will get Critical Hit early. You will get you'll be able to listen a month ahead, and that is only for VIPs. And so for those of you who are wanting to know what the next episode is, if you're a VIP and we hit that 1,500 goal, you'll be able to hear four episodes ahead of everyone else who is not a VIP. Also, if we hit 1,500 VIPs by the end of June, Matthew and I and Rodrigo and Zach, and we'll probably try to hire a couple of other people, we will reenact the opening scene from Pulp Fiction that takes place in the hotel room with Vince and Jules walking around talking about Marsalis Wallace's wife and everything that goes down with that. At 3,000 VIPs, people have been asking, hey, can we make Modern City the next RPG game? The RPG podcast game that you guys do. And heck yeah, we will. 3,000 VIPs is all we need. And then finally, at 6,000 VIPs, audio drama podcast. And for those of you who have been listening to some of those pre-rolls that we've been doing for Critical Hit over the last couple of weeks, you know kind of the quality of the project that you're going to get. And then we've got a fascinating story for you right there. So you'll want to head over to members.majorspoilers.com, become a Major Spoilers VIP for the small amount of $2 or $5 or $10 a month. We appreciate everyone who is a VIP and hope that more of you will be able to sign up in 2015. Well, we've heard from Ashley Victoria Robinson, star of The Red Shirt Diaries and a great writer, and we've got some big news about her coming up very soon. Now let's take a listen to what Mr. Zach Wolf is doing today. Hey, Zach.
Well, hey there, Stephen.
How are you on this fine Friday? It's nice outside.
Yeah, I know. I decided I would take a step outside my windowless office and enjoy the sun for a few minutes and give you a call.
Oh, well, thank you for doing that. Did you ride your bike to the office today?
No, I didn't. I had a lunch thing with some family. So,
okay.
I think I might be jumping on it after work.
Yeah, sometimes I've got a little... it's a great little app. I need to get in and ride my bike some more, but it's an app called Map My Ride that I use on my iPhone, and it tracks your GPS, so if you want to, you know, ride your bike and draw some crazy picture or a profane picture with your bike as you ride, you can do that. But you can also sign up other people, and you can kind of compete against one another, and it lets you, you know, you can see what kind of path they took. And every so often, I'll just be sitting on the couch being lazy, and bloop, Map My Ride will pop up and say, Zach has been out on a bike ride.
Yep, I got some new pedals coming in this weekend, so I'm pretty stoked for it.
All right, what kind are those? The kind you slip your feet into?
Yeah, they're kind of slip. Well, they kind of work like if you have locks on your shoes.
Yeah.
Kind of slip.
Yeah, I like those. I've always wanted to get a pair of those. Hey, do you wear a bike helmet, I hope?
Oh, all the time.
Good.
I look like a giant dork because I didn't plop down some money on a nice one, so I kind of got like a mid-level cheap one, but
your head's safe, right? Yeah. So what's on your mind this week? What's the big story that you saw this week?
Oh, big story. I was pretty interested in that Chrononauts thing. It kind of came out and then blew up, so I might have to jump on it and see what old Mark Millar is writing this week.
It's really a lot of fun. It's not crazy over the top for those of you that have listened to Dueling Reviews. It doesn't have a lot of sex or bad language or vulgarity or any of that stuff that some people might equate with a lot of Mark Miller stuff. It's a really nice first issue, and it is done very, very well. And I think it's going to be cool.
Awesome. Besides that, I know a lot of movies came out on iTunes this week.
Oh, yeah.
So
what,
I got to stack up and watch.
What have you got on your queue right now?
Man, there's a movie called, I think it's A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night.
Mm-hmm.
It's like this, I guess from some country like the Middle East, vampire flick.
Oh, really?
Blew up in the last like couple of months, and they finally released it on iTunes. So that's something, and I've just been watching a couple of trailers this week. Imitation Game came out on a little digital this week also.
Oh, yeah,
so,
it's called
to watch.
It's called A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night. I thought that was just the synopsis that you were saying, not that.
No,
that was
the
actual
title.
In theaters, November 21st, 2014. But you say it's available now on iTunes.
Yep. Just came out today.
Well, if you're into... Now, this is the first Iranian vampire Western ever made, is what it says here in the piece. And... if you are into some vampire movies and you like the found footage genre, I really recommend you go check out a movie called Affliction.
It is
really, really good. It's probably the best found footage that I've ever done, that I've ever seen, because it's hyper aware that this is created by filmmakers who are wanting to document the events that they're going through. So they're very keenly aware of the medium. And and so that plays, and that actually helps the found footage aspect of the piece. So go watch that. It's good.
That's up there on my list also now.
Yeah.
Well, what? I think that's about it this week.
All right, you got big plans for the weekend?
No, I think we might go to the zoo tomorrow in Salina.
Oh yeah.
That's about it.
Yeah, that's a nice zoo. Have you been there before?
Yeah, I've been there once or twice.
Yeah, that's the Rolling Hills Refuge. If you're on I-70 and you're needing a break in the middle of Kansas, go and look at the Rolling Hills Refuge. It's this millionaire guy just bought up all this acreage of land, like hundreds of acres of land, and it just turned it into kind of like a half zoo, half wildlife refuge, so you can go in and see elephants and giraffes and all those kinds of things there. They're not in small cages, and that's kind of the best part about it, so For those of you who are like, oh, zoos are horrible places, I agree with you. But this one's a little bit more humane because they do have much, much bigger space to move around in. In some cases, it's like 20 acres for the elephants or something like that. Mm-hmm. I know that's still kind of small in comparison, but compared to what you see in some zoos where they're walking around in a 30 by 30 cage, it's paradise for some of those animals.
Totally.
Yeah, yeah. All right, man. Well, you have a great time this weekend. Hang out with your family. Do some fun things.
I'll do that.
And maybe we'll see some Zach Plays videos very soon.
Oh, maybe. That'd be great.
Oh, hey, why don't you plug real quick? Some people were listening to parts of your Zach on Film this week. Why don't you plug that really quick?
Oh, yeah. So this week on Zach on Film, I talk with a guy named David B. Weaver, who's doing this project called Baby B. Gravy's Tiny Cinema.
Yeah.
And essentially, he took a tiny trailer and converted it into an 8mm only cinema.
Yeah.
Where he shows all these silent 8mm films and then also plays the music to go along with them. And he's currently got made an original 8mm silent film, and he's currently had a Kickstarter going to make a new, like, D-level sci-fi silent film up on Kickstarter. So I talked to him about that. We talked a lot about just the origin of this tiny cinema project, how it kind of harkens back to the old days when they used to take movies around the country to get them distributed.
Yeah, it's a good interview. We were listening to it just before the show. For those people that tuned in a little early, you got a little taste of that. I would suggest that you head over to the Major Spoilers Podcast Network master feed and grab the latest episode of Zach on Film and Geek History Lesson with Ashley and Jason. This week they did Howard the Duck. Matthew sat in on that. So go check it out. A lot of good stuff over there.
Absolutely.
Anything else, young Mr. Zach?
No, I think that is where I will leave you today.
All right. Well, you have a great weekend, and we will talk with you soon, man.
All right. See you next week.
See ya. Bye. So nice to have Zach call in. See, you can tell the really people who are excited about Major Spoilers and the Major Spoilers experience from the staff perspective, because they're always calling in. Chris calls in all the time. I would love to get Matthew, but I mean, he's working right now. So many other people who are working. Jason sometimes calls in. So go check it out. Matthew, so the question is, have any of you watched Steven Universe? I don't know if that is a question to us in general or not, but I have not watched Steven Universe. Matthew and Rodrigo are big fans. I don't know if Rob or any of the other people watch it, but I hear really great things about it. Well, if you've listened to Dueling Reviews this week, I kind of threw out the idea that maybe on an upcoming Major Spoilers podcast or Top 5, we should do kind of a convince me to watch your favorite thing. So I've never watched Steven Universe. So Rodrigo would tell me all the reasons why I would like Steven Universe and why I should watch Steven Universe and those kinds of things. I'm pretty sure I would watch it. I just don't have time right now. My viewing time is limited. So on some nights I will stay up until 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning watching shows. For example, this week, it's one I'm trying to convince Zach he needs to watch. He hasn't watched it yet. Better Call Saul is a great show. So Tuesday night after we finish recording the Major Spoilers podcast, I will stay up an extra hour just so I can watch the latest episode of Better Call Saul. It is so good. It is so different and it's so different and somewhat the same from Breaking Bad, but really great character moments, some fantastic acting in that series. But then, of course, I've been watching Flash and Gotham and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Agent Carter and all of those things. And then I don't know how I got in on it. I think I was watching something on Hulu and a little ad popped up for this show called Manhattan about the Manhattan Project that's on WGN. And I'm a big science fan. I've written lots of reports in school about the Manhattan Project and things are going on. So I've been getting into that show. I've only got about 4 more episodes left in the first season. It is a fictionalized account of events going on during World War II in Arizona at the Manhattan Project. New Mexico at the Manhattan Project. So it's really good. I can see some problems with it here and there, but overall it's a fun show. So those are kind of the things that are occupying my time. And then of course I have a number of YouTube subscriptions and Vimeo channels that I watch on a regular basis as well. So it's all coming to me via the Apple TV, and I can't wait until the HBO Now launches on the Apple TV so that we can watch some of the great HBO shows that are coming up this next year without having to pay for a cable bill. Log Horizon. Why don't you call in, brother Why don't you call in Brother Anubis, Brother of Anubis, and tell me about Log Horizon. 785-727-1939. That's the number you want to call. That's the Major Spoilers hotline. Or if you are on Skype, Stephen_Schleicher. If you're on the road, I hope you have your mobile device piping through your stereo system of your car, and that everybody in the family is enjoying this conversation this afternoon. But you can call in there as well, wherever you are. And I hope you're having a great weekend. And man, I know that as it's getting closer to summer and as spring, today is the first day of spring, that that it's going to be harder and harder for people to sit down at 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock in the afternoon and want to call in. But that's why we're on Alpha Geek Radio, so that you can take the Major Spoilers experience with you on the road. And oh, people watch me. Oh, no, that's not good. So, yeah, the first day of spring, and ever since I have made Major Spoilers my full-time job, I've been doing a lot more decorating around the house. And so today I took Mason and we went over to a craft store and we bought a bunch of spring decorations, and we hung and decorated things all throughout the house for spring, and that'll last for a couple of months or so, a month or two. And then we'll decorate for summer, and then we'll decorate for fall and winter again. We just put away all the winter decorations today. And it's nice outside, as Zach said earlier. It's probably about 70 right now. Yesterday it was rainy, which I love the rain. We need more of it. But today, right now, 72 degrees, sunny, very little wind. Southwest 19 miles an hour for the gusts. That's pretty typical for western Kansas. Let's talk to Alexander. How are you this afternoon, sir?
Doing pretty well. I'm the one who mentioned Log Horizon.
So what is Log Horizon?
So basically the gist of it is people are playing this MMO much like WoW.
Mm-hmm.
I know people don't like you bringing it up, but...
Oh, no. They don't like me bringing it up and trying to compare it to every other bit of pop culture out there.
Yeah. And it's basically like every other kind of MMORPG that we have today, except the problem is a new expansion comes out. A bunch of people in Japan download it, and then they wake up in the game world.
Oh, interesting.
So it's this thing of they're trying to figure out, well, we're living in this game world. We don't know how we got here. And it's this them coping with being in a game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So this is not like, so again, here's why people hate me trying to compare WoW with Dungeons & Dragons. This isn't like Digimon, is it?
No, no, no. It's basically, imagine if you took like a VR helmet or something,
yeah,
put it on, and then you were told you're not allowed to take it off.
Ah, okay. So they're in this world, or it's a virtual reality world that they're in? Have they been sucked into the machine?
It's kind of a mix of both.
Interesting.
It's kind of a mix of both, because initially it's very video game-esque, like,
yeah.
In the first episode, it's this thing of, well, I'm suddenly in this first-person view rather than this third-person view, and then they figure out, oh, wait, I don't need to go into the command menu and do all these things. I can just do it naturally.
Hmm.
And then from episodes on that way, it's they're figuring out, well, it's all these players coping with their living in this world, and it gets to a point, and a spoiler for those of you who haven't watched it yet, the main character who is, his name's Shiro, he's the man in the white cloak.
Yeah.
He eventually, and you find out that you can buy buildings as a player, he buys the guild hall and then starts blacklisting people who are less than desirable kind of person. And then from there, he starts making a society happen.
Interesting.
Because unlike stuff like .hack sign or Sword Art Online, which are those kind of anime where if you die... you die.
Yeah.
And this one is, if you die, you resurrected the cathedral, much like any other normal MMORPG. You actually, like, just, you come back to life as you would in a game.
So where do I find this show? Is this on Hulu or the Crunchyroll?
It's on Crunchyroll.
Okay.
And if you are not a member, you can get up to what I think is technically last week's episode. If you are a member, you can stay up to date pretty much. The first season, which all of the episodes for the first season are out, it's 25 episodes. They're about the usual TV length, so 20-something minutes to 30 minutes long.
Mm-hmm.
And they're almost, I think they're almost done with the second season. So there's about 49 episodes or so out there right now.
Okay. Well, maybe I will give that a chance. I do have I do have Crunchyroll on the Apple TV, but I don't remember if I have the premium service or not. I don't know if I've paid for that or not. I have a lot of
those. It's not a required thing. Sure, you have to, there are a couple ads that you have to go through, but for the most part, they actually put their ads they specifically put them so like if there's a break in the action,
yeah,
like in any normal television show, like hey, it's to this break or we have little interlude, it will go to the advertisement then rather than in the middle of something.
You get those ads even as a premium member.
As a premium member, you don't get the ads.
Okay, because I've got Hulu Plus and I haven't used it that often. The kids and my wife watch Hulu a lot, but since I've been watching this show Manhattan, I've been watching it more, and we have a Hulu Plus subscription, yet I'm still getting ads when I'm watching this, and I don't understand that. Does that happen? Do people get ads with their Hulu Plus? Maybe I need to double check.
That would be something I'd have to ask my dad, because my dad has Hulu Plus.
Oh, okay.
And my brother has Netflix, and they kind of just go, well, I have this, you have this, let's just use each other. But I don't use either of the services. I'm usually on YouTube or listening to podcasts.
Yeah, me too.
I don't watch the television as much as I used to.
The only time I watch television is watching the news in the morning, or maybe if my wife is watching a cooking show or something on the weekend, and I walk through, I may watch for about 10 minutes. But, you know, say for whatever I'm getting through iTunes or Hulu or Netflix or, YouTube or wherever else, that's where I get
the internet kind of things. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I just get everything that way. So I really enjoy that a lot more than having to sit there and going, man, there's nothing on television today. There's always something online.
There's always. And I've actually that's part of the reason why I've expanded my podcast library, because it's that thing of, okay, I've caught up. What next?
Yep.
And then you just go find something else, which is why I like why Major Spoilers is doing a lot of different things nowadays, because I get my Critical Hit fix, I get my Zach on Film fix and such like that. And after a certain point, I got caught up with Critical Hit, so I started looking at other RPG podcasts, and I found a whole bunch of
There's a lot of them out there, and some of them are really, really great, and some of them could probably be tweaked a little bit. So
yeah.
There's stuff out there, and I don't know, somebody wrote to us a couple weeks ago and said, hey, you guys should do, the top five podcasts that are not part of the Frog Pants or Major Spoilers Network. Was that you?
I don't think that was me.
Oh, okay.
Although personally, I would like to see it, because I like to it's one of those things of, well, we kind of wonder what you guys listen to.
Yeah. So Matthew has said time and time again that he doesn't listen to podcasts, and Rodrigo only listens to one or two, so neither one of them could make five out of it. But Zach and I did sit down, and we recorded a really nice show last week about the top five podcasts that we listen to that are not Frog Pants or Major Spoilers shows. So that some of them are pretty on the nose, but they are our favorites. Certainly a way to expand your listening experience.
And I think it might have been Welcome to Night Vale, or it might have been you guys, but I ended up finding a radio show podcast called The Thrilling Adventure Hour.
Yeah, Thrilling Adventure Hour. That's probably through us, because I love Thrilling Adventure Hour.
Oh, yeah.
They have finished their season. They finished their show. The one that came out this week was a panel discussion that they had of kind of reflecting back on all the years that they've had. There are, hundreds of hours of Thrilling Adventure Hour to go through and listen to, and I highly recommend people go and check that out, because it's really well done as far as a live audience podcast goes.
And if anyone's interested in listening to the Thrilling Adventure Hour, Sparks, Nevada is a fantastic Western.
Yep.
Even for those people who don't like Westerns.
Yeah. It's a sci-fi Western on Mars. So, and Image Comics, there's a Sparks, Nevada comic that is just out. The first issue is out already. Second issue, I think, comes out in 2 weeks, I think, is when the next one comes out. And then if you are fans of Sid and Sadie Doyle.
I love those guys.
I forget what their title of their show is, but they
Beyond
also
Belief.
Yeah, Beyond Belief. There's also that comic book that's coming out from Image Comics very soon, and it's written by the show creators Acker and Blacker. So certainly something to go check out.
Yeah, and when it comes on the shelves, if I can find it, I will be grabbing it. And
okay,
Stu will not be able to get that cash register ringed up fast enough.
Yeah, there you go. You might, if you like Thrilling Adventure Hour, then the other one that you need to go and listen to is Dakota Ring Theater. This one is set again in the vein of oldie timey radio, but the two shows that they do one called Red Panda Adventures, which is kind of like The Shadow, but it's the adventures of Canada's greatest superhero. And then
Matthew, do a comic review for
We did Sparks Nevada is the one that we reviewed, but we have reviewed Red Panda Adventures on
the
Major Spoilers podcast. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And then the other one they do is Blackjack Justice, and that's a detective story. Yeah. It's pretty easy to do if you're listening to them both at the same time, but I really enjoy both of those podcasts a lot.
Okay. I will have to check that out.
All right, man. Anything else that you want to talk about today? Anything else on your mind?
Not all too much. I mean, I can brag that I got a job today. So,
hey, congratulations.
Yeah. I'm going to be helping making firefighting clothes.
Oh, neat.
It's going to be very interesting.
Like sewing stuff or what are you?
Yeah. Cool. I'm working in their sewing department, which is completely new to me. But
yeah.
But then again, like my basis for it was I work with a lot of cosplay people, a lot of seamstresses. So being able to be helpful if something goes wrong
would
help a lot.
Yeah, cool. So, excellent. Yeah. Well, good luck and have fun with that.
Yeah, so I hope you have a great day and thank you for all the stuff that you do for us.
All right. Well, thank you, Alexander. Have a great week.
All right, see ya.
Robin and Brian have Hulu Plus, and they still get the ads, said Crims Bacon. That's John, that you may know. He dresses up as Randus at comic book conventions. So, yeah, so I guess Hulu Plus, and you still get the ads, which I don't mind, except it seems like the longer I watch a show, like if I try to watch three or four episodes in a row, by the time I hit, like, episode three, the commercials just start coming hard and fast to where I remember... a couple of days ago, I was watching Manhattan, and like before the opening credits were done, they had inserted three ads into it. And I was like, ugh, this is getting really, really, really old. I would love to remove ads from the Major Spoilers podcast network completely. But that little bit of money that we get helps keep the lights on for shows like this and lets us do a lot more. So if we had 6,000 or more VIPs, we'd certainly remove ads from a lot of our shows. Yeah, if you haven't, John, in the chat room, why don't you shout out? I don't know if you've got anything big going on right now with your what are they called, Amiibos or whatever, the Nintendo things. But John has been doing a lot of mods and paints of those figures, and they're really, really awesome. We showed off some of those recently. Well, I guess it was last month during the February VIP gold member chat that we do each month. It looks like the next gold chat will be next weekend, although we have to configure some things because that Saturday is not only Mason's big soccer practice day, but it's also a Pokemon tournament that he wants to participate in. So we probably won't be able to do it on the Saturday. So it looks like maybe March 29th, Sunday, is when we'll be doing that next live chat. Hi, who's this?
Hi, this is Joe.
Hey, Joe, what do you know? Probably get that a lot, huh?
Yeah,
is that
an oldie timey thing I want to talk about?
Okay, go for it.
Quickly, I'll just say, you know, ads really bother me a lot. I prefer watching stuff like web series and stuff where they just don't have that kind of advertising framework or just I like watching on services that have fewer ads. Sometimes you can use ad block too on streaming stuff, which I know kind of hurts the creators, but like it makes it so much more tolerable.
Well, it depends. You know, when you're watching YouTube, I found this out a couple weeks ago. When you're watching YouTube and they have those pre-rolls on YouTube, if you stop playing within the first 30 seconds, the advertiser doesn't get charged, and the person whose ad is playing, obviously they don't get any money off of that. But the minute you hit that 30-second mark, that's when everybody gets charged and that's when money is exchanged. So sometimes it can be helpful, especially if it looks like a commercial you're interested in or a channel that you support. Just watch it up to 30 seconds, even if it's a 60-second commercial. After the 30-second mark, that's when everything starts exchanging hands. The other thing is, especially with YouTube, I've noticed that I loved watching the YouTube channels on my Apple TV because there was a way of not watching the commercials. Now with the most recent update, they've started injecting those pre-rolls into a lot of the YouTube videos.
Well,
so
one thing I found is that if you want to support the person by watching the ad, then I found just muting the ad, you still get credit for it and it makes you know, it doesn't like brainwash you the same way that advertisements normally do.
Yeah, yeah.
And sometimes it's even fun to watch an ad with no context and see how well they sell the product with just the visual. Sometimes there is no sale without the audio.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which is
there's
kind of interesting.
Have you ever clicked on an ad that you've seen on a pre-roll and said, oh, I want to find out more about that?
Never.
Never?
Only by accident.
Only by accident. There's one, I think it was this follow camera. I forget what the name of the brand is, but it's this camera that you're wearing a little fob and it will auto track you. And I was like, oh, that would be very helpful for shows like this that we're doing and when I'm doing the YouTube videos that we're doing, so I can have something that kind of keeps me in frame all the time. But then I went and looked, and just the device itself, I think, is like $500. But they must be selling a lot of them because they keep advertising a lot on YouTube. So,
yeah, so I just got a Kickstarter product I ordered.
Okay.
It's called Combat Description Cards.
Oh, cool.
And so it was for people who play RPGs, and they basically give you two decks of cards. One of them is split into piercing, bludgeoning, and slashing. And basically, whenever you hit someone, you can just randomly draw one of these cards, and it gives you a few different choices on the card for like how to describe what you did.
Was this Conflict Games that put this out?
Yeah.
Okay. I want to make sure that I was putting the right one up on the screen.
And then, so I'll just read one out. For example, here's a piercing one. Awkward. Planting a false sense of superiority with awkward attacks and false openings. You watch your opponent. You watch as your foe walks into your waiting assault. Okay.
Cool.
And there's on this one card, there's like six different ones. So, for example, if you... And so you can kind of choose. And then there's a second deck, which has actually a whole bunch of different ones. There's like character descriptions for like describing an NPC, like square jawed. There's clearly an evident chin, which frames his face, and their square jaw protrudes slightly when they concentrate. And so just like lots of little things. There's like atmospheric ones. And so I don't know how easy it'll be to use these, so I'm going to take them to my next session and try them out.
So are these for the is this for everybody to use, or is it just for the game master?
I think that it would be better if I had them in the center of the table and that the players could
use
them as well.
So this is to help everybody aid in their storytelling. So you can say, well, this is how I attack, and you can use those cards to help you explain what you're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
I think the combat ones are mostly what you'd use in Dungeons & Dragons, unless you're the Dungeon Master, but maybe in a more like cooperative storytelling game, then everyone could kind of chip in more.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Especially if they're the... Because I have these two at my table, because I get lots of new players coming in at my game store.
Yeah,
where I volunteer, and I often get a new person who doesn't really know how to DM or to role play, or they kind of get a brain freeze, and so like having something like this could help them contribute with everyone else.
Cool, excellent. That's sounds like a great product. Now, this campaign closed in April of last year, and you just got your product. I don't know if this is available for sale anywhere else.
Yeah, you can go to the website. I don't know how many extra copies of the physical deck they have. I'm sure they have a few, but you can also get a digital PDF version.
Oh, okay.
And they're also working on an app.
Okay, so, cool. Oh, the app would be very good.
There's lots of options for depending on what your preferred format is.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Let's see. Oh, that linked me back to the Kickstarter again. Don't want to do that. I was just looking to see if I could find the link for it. Looks like they have a Facebook page, so I would start there, Conflict Games LLC, facebook.com/Conflict Games, and check that out and see if you can order those and get them. Cool. That looks like a very cool product. Thanks for sharing that with us.
No problem. And just one final plug is Pillars of Eternity, the huge Kickstarter RPG of the year. It's coming out on Monday, so I'm super excited to finally dig into that.
Yeah, I did not fund that one. I don't think I did. I don't know. It's they were looking for $1 million. They got almost $4 million off of that campaign.
Yep.
Wow.
So yeah, anyone who likes Baldur's Gate, or even if you're a more casual player and you like more like the Dragon Age type of stuff, like mm-hmm. I think that's going to be RPG of the year. So,
oh, cool. Well, I hope it turns out to be that way. I hope it's as good as it looks. Well, look at this. Wow, that looks pretty cool. All right. Anything else?
No, that's it. Have a happy Friday, everyone.
All right. Take care. Bye. So nice for people to call in and sharing stuff. This is the way you're supposed to do it. Call in with your ideas and your suggestions or things that are on your mind or things that you want to talk about. Obviously, we don't want to turn this into a complete advertisement thing for everybody's Kickstarters. But if you've gotten something like Joe did and you want to talk about it, that's great. I don't have a problem with that. But certainly calling in and pitching your own Kickstarter campaign, probably not going to go over too well with me, at least. And I don't mind talking about Kickstarter campaigns, but again, we're trying to have a conversation and keep people entertained. Speaking of entertainment, have you guys checked out the, well, obviously you probably haven't checked it out because it doesn't come out till next week, but it's Archie versus Predator, comes out next week from Dark Horse Comics. It's got Archie creators working on it. Obviously, there's going to be some back and forth because of the nature of the two properties between the two companies. But it's done in the Archie style. The story is kind of in a typical kind of Archie style that you might expect. But then they drop Predator in the middle of it, and people are going to die. And it is it's kind of shocking when you see it with the traditional art, and then you've got Predator going and killing characters in the first episode. But today, Archie Comics announced their new imprint called Archie Horror, and they announced that Sabrina, The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, and Afterlife with Archie would be the two comics that kicked that off. It probably wouldn't surprise me to see some other titles join this in the near future. But for those of you who've been waiting for new Sabrina, the second one is expected to hit the shelf on April 15th. So you'll be able to get Archie Sabrina issue number 2. And then Afterlife with Archie number 8 arrives in stores on May 6th. And according to the press release, it's going to be inspired by The Shining in that story. So it should be rather good there. I can't wait. I really got a kick out of Archie versus Predator more than I thought it would. And I love Afterlife with Archie. It's fantastic if you like zombie horror. And of course, Francesco Francavilla, I've been a big fan of his for years now. And to see his art see him take on Archie is really kind of cool. If you want another incentive to pick up the Archie versus Predator, the backup story is Sabrina meets Hellboy. So go check it out. 785-727-1939. That is the number that you want to call if you want to get I've messed something up here. Blank shot, and we'll put that in. Is it coming in? No. I've messed up the super. 785-727-1939. That is the number that you do want to call if you want to get in. We've got about 10 minutes left before I have to head out and get the kids. I left my 7-year-old upstairs running around playing. It's gotten mighty quiet up there, so hopefully he hasn't done something horrible. But he's a pretty good kid. Today he was building a very cool Lego set. It is the Lego TIE Fighter, the proto TIE Fighter. I think that was in Clone Wars. And I was just like, I'm leaving you to do this all by yourself. And he only came down a couple of times because some bricks were stuck together that he couldn't get apart. But he came down about 2 hours later, and he's got a TIE Fighter that shoots off some weapons and stuff. And he's pretty proud of it. I'm pretty proud of him for taking that on and having fun with it. It's his spring break. So, been trying to keep him active all week. So we went bike riding and skateboarding, and we went to the museum. We went bowling. And today, because I had so much to do, was Lego day. 785-727-1939. You guys still have a few minutes to call in, and I hope you do call in. What did I do here? I messed this up. Boo. I don't like it when I mess up the cool things going on here. Oh, so last night, if you follow on Instagram or if you're over on the Major Spoilers website, down at the bottom of the page is our Instagram feed. I think I also put it up on Facebook, and I also put it up on I think I also put it up on the Twitter. about Rob and Mason were going to sit down and play a game of Pokemon. Mason really wants to play Pokemon. He's got all the cards. He says he knows how to play. So Rob came over and helped him configure his deck, and then they went at each other. And I'll tell you the real results of that right after we talk to our friend on the line. Hi, who's this?
Hi, Stephen. This is Pontus from Sweden.
Hey, how are you? How is Sweden? Is it getting lighter there, or is it still really, really dark?
It's getting lighter, but I have a bit more of the darkness because I get home really late.
I
work in Gothenburg, but I live an hour and a half by train away, so...
Ouch.
Yeah, that long days.
Yeah. So what's on your mind on this Friday? Or Saturday for you, or whatever it is. I don't know what time it is over there.
It's still Friday. Another hour or so.
There you go.
Yeah. I was wondering if you had the chance to watch the iZombie pilot.
I have not. That is on my queue for this weekend, and so I'll be watching that. I can't wait, and I want to talk with Chris Roberson to see what his reactions are after watching that. So, no, I have not. Have you seen it?
I saw the first episode, and I really enjoyed it.
Good.
Yeah.
What's the best part about it?
I think the best part for me personally is that it really scratched my Veronica Mars itch.
That's what a lot of people have said, that it's very Veronica Mars-like.
Yeah, it really feels quite similar in terms of tone and structure and things like that. So I really liked the first episode, and I'm looking forward to keeping up on the series. So.
Good. Well, I hope it's one that is able to continue. I think we're just in this crazy age for DC really dominating television. And if iZombie can be one of those that becomes a big hit, I mean, Supernatural's a big hit. Grimm has been renewed for another season. What's the show with the two brothers? That is Supernatural. yeah. I think that shows like this and Constantine and all of that can really go a long ways. And they're all comic book properties or related in some way to that. I think that's really super positive.
Yeah, there's really a lot of things that I'm enjoying on TV right now, especially a lot of DC properties.
Yeah.
So I think that's a really cool thing.
The one that I'm still behind on is Green Arrow. I haven't even started season two yet, and we're almost done with season three. And apparently there was a big Deal with the Devil episode made this past week that people are talking about.
Yeah, that was a big thing as well. I really enjoy... I thought the first season of Arrow got off to kind of a slow start, and it got bogged down into some more relationship drama. Things that I didn't particularly like.
Yeah.
But man, it takes off after the first season. The second season onwards has been great, I think.
That's what everybody keeps saying, and I think it's because I've watched the first season and it was kind of slow that I've been real hesitant to start season two. But I've got all the episodes that are just waiting for me to watch. At the end of season two, Warner Brothers sent me the Blu-ray collection, so I've got those. I don't know why I'm just not sitting down and watching it. So I'm worried, I think, sometimes that everyone else's excitement and hype is going to ruin it for me if I don't think it's as great as everyone has built it up to be.
But the worst thing that can happen is that you'll not like it.
That's the worst thing. Yeah. What else is on your mind on this Friday?
Oh, nothing much. I'll probably be heading off to bed soon.
All right.
It's almost 11 here.
Any big plans for the weekend?
Not really. I'm going to a friend's house to have a small party. He's moving away soon, so we'll try to send him off with a bang.
Excellent. What? Maybe I'm getting my holidays. Isn't there some thing that goes on in Sweden around spring, the beginning of spring, or am I where the girls wear the candle crowns, or am I thinking that's a Christmas thing?
That's a Christmas thing. Yeah. So it's what is it? Santa Lucia.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it's Saint Lucia. It's the 13th of December, I believe.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, sorry, I got those mixed up. I had a exchange student when I was in high school from Sweden. She was from Eskilstuna, and she hung out and made really good friends with her, and have kind of chatted back and forth with her over the years. So, Yeah, I just remember she had sent me a picture of her dressed up like that for the holiday, and I couldn't remember if it was a spring holiday or if it was Christmas or
what. It's a Christmas holiday, and it's a really big thing. You basically have these, what's the word? These big trains of people on every workplace and every school, everyone has their Saint Lucia train that just walks and sings.
Interesting, yeah. And that's a big deal in Sweden, because I don't think I've ever seen it anywhere else besides Sweden.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's celebrated very much anywhere else. So, yeah, it's basically a big Swedish thing, yeah.
Excellent. All right. Well, I'll remember that next year in December and not get that confused. So, all right. Thanks a lot for calling all the way from Sweden. You have a great weekend, and we'll talk with you soon.
Yeah, you too.
All right. Bye. Bye. I love it when we have our international fans calling in, whether they be from Germany or Sweden or Switzerland or I haven't had anybody call from the UK in quite a while. We used to have a big grouping of fans in the UK. Of course, Canada and Mexico recently, Australia a couple of weeks ago called in. So love it when you guys call in from around the world. And maybe next week you will have a chance to call in, because I think we are going to wrap it up right there this week on Finally Friday. As my youngest would say, it's red and blue day, red and blue days, stay home days. Then he gets really sad when we tell him that Monday's just around the corner, and he gets really, really irate because he enjoys red and blue days. And I think, like most of us, he can't wait until it's the next Finally Friday. Take care, everyone. We'll talk with you soon. Okay, real quick. People are saying, oh, what about Pokemon Battle Story? Okay, here's Pokemon Battle Story before we get out, because I don't want to step on the next show coming up on Alpha Geek Radio. But, so Rob came over last night, and he built the deck, or at least helped Mason configure his deck, and also built kind of a deck for me. And so they sat down to play, and I told him ahead of time, I said, Mason, Rob is a really good player. So don't get upset if he beats you, because he goes and plays at tournaments and championships and all these kinds of things. Mason's like, yeah, sure, not a problem. And they played for about an hour, and Rob lost on one of those technicalities. You know, whenever you get to the part where if it's your turn and you don't have any more cards left in your draw pile, you lose. That's how Mason won, although I think even if Rob still had a few more cards in his draw pile, Mason would have still won, because he had a couple of really heavy hitters that he brought out and had powered them up before he put them into the battle arena. So yes, Rob lost to my son. My son's pretty happy. I'm not sure how much longer that happiness will last, because I have a feeling that Rob is going to come back and demand a rematch really soon, and we may do that live on our next Gold VIP session. We'll see. Thanks, everyone. Have a great week. We'll talk with you soon.